Culture watchers among us may have noticed the word postmodern being bandied about a great deal in the last few years. It tries to reflect where we are in our world today, that we're somehow behind or beyond the modern conceptions of life as they were for most of us. What with the advent of the internet, with computers, with a multitude of entertainment and information options, this world is characterized now by lots of different ideas about what truth is, and sort of the vague belief that truth is something that we each create. As Christians, we don't believe for one second that we create truth. Indeed, we find our truth in Jesus Christ. And we see in the reading today Jesus Christ at a particularly critical moment for us and a particularly critical moment for him. He is in the garden on the last night of his life after the meal, but prior to his arrest. Things are coming to an end. Things are coming to a climax. And for all intents and purposes, if you were a watcher at this point, you would say pretty much that the world was winning. It did not look good for the good guys. It looked like evil was to triumph. It was a dark moment. And here we have Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, human and divine, in intimate prayer with God the Father. This has got to be a comfort to us. I always am intrigued because most of the Gospels tell us that the disciples fell asleep during Jesus' prayer. But it seems to me somebody had to be awake and paying attention for them to record it. I don't know. Anyway, I'm glad they did. This prayer is important for us, not just for those disciples that Jesus knew in person on earth in his incarnate form, but for us who follow. Remember, the resurrection not only created an intimate relationship for each individual to share through Christ, it created a group of people called the church. And it created a new tangent, if you will, a new direction toward heaven that was not available before. So this prayer begins to line out for us what life might be like in a post-resurrection world. And that is what we live in and have lived in for 2,000 years, a post-resurrection world. A post-resurrection world. This prayer has helped sustain the faithful through those 2,000 years, and it will help sustain us in these days. It brings to us a great deal of comfort, for it tells us that Jesus is asking God to protect us. And Lord knows we need protecting. It's asking for God to make us one. And Lord knows we need to be one. It's asking for us to be sanctified. That's a fancy term for being made holy. And it promises us that Jesus wants us to know joy. Now, with all this comfort contained in this prayer, it is also not surprising that there is some challenges. For if this prayer seeks to remind us that God is to protect us, we must remember that from Jesus' point of view, the most important part of any of us is not our bodies. It isn't even how great our intellect is. But the most important part of us is our heart and soul. The thing that connects us with God. What Jesus is praying for is that we will make it to the end intact with what God most desires us to be. God can give us a new body. God can give us the thoughts. And God is offering in this life to give us the heart and soul we so desperately need. So we do need protection, but be reminded that this protection does not mean that you won't suffer, or that you won't be proved wrong, or that you won't have struggles. It promises that you will make it to the end. Another challenge is that one about being united. You know, it seems to me that the more time moves on in my life, the more disintegrated people are. People are at war within themselves. They are at war with each other. And they are at war in communities and nation states and religious tenets or faiths. We have so many ways to be disunited and disintegrated. So the challenge for us then becomes to find what is truly at the core of who we are and who God has made us to be. What is Jesus praying for here? And how is that to look in our lives? How is it to be made real? It's a challenge that we cannot back away from. It's a challenge we must face. Another challenge in this prayer is the issue of being made holy, being sanctified. For in our day and age, in our modern mindset, we believe that for the most part we are a people who are determined by our biology and our geography. Before our birth and after our birth, it is our education and our socialization that makes us who we are. And the more we talk about it and the more we convince ourselves of this, the more we believe that we cannot, in fact, we should not change who we are. That somehow the person that we grew up to be as an adult is the person precisely as we should be. And that if there is something wrong with about the world, it has nothing to do with me because I'm all right the way I am. Well, you see how this says to God, in a fairly clear message, that he has done all he needs to do and he need not bother with us anymore. But do you think that Jesus would pray a prayer to God the Father that God the Father wouldn't hear? And upon hearing it, do you think God the Father would receive a prayer of Jesus and not grant the prayer? In John's Gospel, the world is always the principalities and powers of evil. Now, this is not true for the whole Bible, but it's true in John's Gospel. And Jesus is making it clear in this post-resurrection world that people who believe in him and people who gather in his name are a people who are being drawn away from the powers and principalities of this world into a holy salvation God has prepared for them. A holy way of living, a way of life that faces the challenges of faith and seeks to love in the midst of an unloving world, seeks to abide by the truth in a world that has many truths, seeks to hope in a world that is full of despair, seeks to have faith in a world that is demanding evidence. But do you think that Jesus would pray a prayer that God wouldn't hear, and upon hearing, God wouldn't grant? Jesus prays this prayer still for you and I. Jesus prays this prayer for this church and for every church. Jesus prays this prayer for every disciple that ever has been and ever will be, that we will know that we are protected, that we will know that we are going to be cared for, that we will be kept from evil, and that we will learn to love. And if you think about it, you know words that will remind you, "Our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We'll pray that prayer later. But they're the same prayer, out of the same heart, to the same God, looking for the same thing. Now, what does that mean to you, and what does that mean to me in this world? It means this precisely, that though I cannot identify how it is happening in you, I know that God is answering Jesus' prayer, and God is nudging you in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, to do something that will call upon you to exercise faith, hope, and love. Now, you can identify it if you take the time to listen and look for it, because it's there. There's something going on in your life that is giving you an opportunity to soar in God's strength and love. There's a challenge in your life that God is asking you to face, out of which will come either good or bad, depending on how you choose. There is something within you that God is nudging you about, that is suggesting that maybe, just maybe, this is not the best thing for you to do. Now, let me assure you, if you're feeling like I know what's on your mind, I don't. I can't see this in your face. I can only trust that if God is going to hear Jesus' prayer, he's going to grant it. And that means God is in you, around you, nudging you to walk a little differently, a little closer, maybe with baby steps, in the direction of love and joy and peace. How is God nudging you today? And how does the knowledge of Jesus' love and protection and presence by the Holy Spirit help you face what you are facing? To answer God's questions and his invitation to walk deeper. Let's take a moment, a silent moment, and answer that question for ourselves. And we'll close in a little prayer. May we, Lord, hear what you have to say to us today and grant us all that we need to follow your invitation. To the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.